We'd like to have you come forward from wherever you're sitting and just take a mic and just share with us. And we'll just leave it open. Whoever wants to come, if you want to even get in a little line or just when the next person is finished, just come on up. And we'll just kind of go on whoever has the mic. Okay? Who would like to be first?
If I can, I'd like to go back to how it is we ended up here this week. We had decided quite a while ago that we were going to this conference. And so we got our refund check and we stuffed that in the savings account. And Diane had a short temporary job with community education, teaching a course, and we took that and stuffed that in the savings account. And going into June 1st, thought we had it made. Then we have a long driveway, and it is shot. When it rains, it just goes all apart. And we got a deal on gravel, so we got that. And wouldn't you know, that completely took care of our savings account. What we had for the Glen, plus whatever else we had that we hadn't gotten around to spending yet. And well, I didn't hit the panic bell yet, but then a couple days later, I took my car in. It needed quite a bit of work, and I didn't know it was in tough shape as it was. And we got a pretty good-sized bill out of that. So by about June 7th, I figured out what we had coming in and what I thought we had going out, and there was about a $900 deficit. And boy, now I said, boy, if we're going to Glen Eyrie, God's going to have to provide. I've got a small photography business, but it ain't never turned $900 in 3 weeks. So I also got some counsel from a friend earlier, and he said, if something's important, you get it in writing. And I felt this was important, and so I turned to God's scripture, and I got some writing where God said he would provide our needs, but we had to ask him. Okay, so I wrote those down, and I kind of held God to that. I said, you know, if this is important, then we're going to expect for $900. It turned out $890. We asked for 10 extra dollars. $900 by the time we get back from the Glen. Well, about 4 days went by and not much happened. And then it got to a point where I couldn't hardly get the mailbox fast enough. We had accounts come in that we had kind of given up on. We got our electric bill. We're on one of those budget saver things where we pay $125 a month, and they charged us $12. So there was money we hadn't counted on. I had tried contact lenses and didn't care for them. It didn't work for my photography. So I sent those back earlier, and we got a refund check on those, more than we had expected. And it was just unbelievable. And I just added up in our checking account what we took in and what I continued to spend on photography, and he provided $888.62 by the time we came here, and I'm sure that he will have provided what we need by the time we get back. So I tell you, that was exciting. That was the first time we had really trusted God for that kind of money. And that was really something. So we're quite certain that he wanted us here. And one thing he's taught me specifically is the importance of quiet time. And so that's one thing for certain I'm taking out of this. Thank you. Can I add one more thing? I couldn't wait to get here and figure out what God wanted with his share of that money. So when you said that we met our goal and then some, I was just thrilled. That, you know, that's the hottest money I ever had. I wanted to get rid of.
Talk on a fruit basket, and I've used a little kiwi from New Zealand, and I have never known anyone from New Zealand. Suddenly now, that little piece of fruit has a special meaning, because we will try to contribute to the support of two people who will now be Kiwis.
We shouldn't all just sit around, should we? Whoops. I guess I've told a lot of you people already at dinner and in our discussion group and everything that we've had a rough year, but a great year. We're all alive yet. Okay, we had a fire in our home this spring, and it didn't burn it down. I came home from work, as I always do, about 1 o'clock at night when I get home. Smelled something funny and couldn't find anything. And so I looked around, and we put a wood burner in last year, and I thought, you know, just when it goes out, it smells kind of like there's wood burning in the house, so didn't think too much of it. I didn't see anything, and I looked around, couldn't find any fire, so I made myself a sandwich, and I got done with the sandwich. I was eating about half of it. It still didn't smell right. And I went down and started the wood burner. I thought, well, maybe it was leaking around the door. Once in a while, a little smoke would come up out of it if you didn't have the door shut real tight. So I went down there and looked, and nothing. I come up the stairs, and my wife, Cheryl, came down. Bang, heard the bus. She says, I think the house is on fire. She says, crackling upstairs. So here we go. We looked, and I says, well, it was in the attic, and it wasn't quite so bad. We could walk up and down the stairs. So we went up there, and I says, yeah, I think you're right. So she gets dressed, and I went and got the kids up, and we went down, and she called the fire department, and we just, you know, we went outside. I said, we all got out, and I put them in the pickup and sent them down to the neighbors. We had a big tree right at the end of our driveway, and sat there, and you can see the house. And I sat there by the tree, and I said, Lord, I said, thank you, we're all safe. And I'm a man of a few words sometimes. And I didn't know what to do. I thought, well, should I go back in there? No, something told me, no, stay out of there. So I stayed out. I said, Lord, I said, we'd like to save a lot of that stuff there. I said, don't let it burn down. I said, where's the fire department, Lord? And I said, we need it. Looked over my shoulder, and there come the fire department. I could see the lights flash, and they were on their way already. So that was taken care of. I said, Lord, I don't think we're going to be able to live in there. We're going to need a place to live. And that was it. The fire department got there, and they worked. They got the fire out, burnt the upstairs. And if you want a new suit, you just burn your house down. But seriously, I stood around there, you know, and you really feel lost. And you know, people are running around, and you're going six different directions trying to tell everybody where the... I had the electricity off. I'd pulled the wire, the thing. I told them that. I said, but the gas is still on behind the house, so somebody went and turned that off. They got the fire out, and everything was saved except downstairs, except my wife and I lost all our clothes and stuff upstairs pretty well, our beds and everything. I didn't think too much of that. And the next morning, my neighbor came over. The first question he asked me is everyone all right? I said, yes, we're just fine, thank you. The next question he asked me, he says, you know that house that we built a new one? He said, you know the old house back there, if you want to live in it, it's yours. And that's only a little ways down the road. We can see our place from there. So all the questions, the prayers that I had were all answered. Right there, just that quick. I had a place for us to stay, and my folks and the people from the church all came and helped us move. The next day, we were already moved into that house. And the old house, the next day, we tore everything out of it. Now we're building a new one. We've got a foundation in. The reason I wanted to put the foundation in was Glen Eyrie last year, this is our second year, has given me such a foundation in my life. And I needed more of a foundation. Now I have a foundation of our new house in. And we go back, that's going to be a house of the Lord and my family, and we want to grow in that house. And praise the Lord, And thank you all for this wonderful week. It's been great.
Okay, we're going to sing another song here that I think is very fitting. Number 6, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And before we sing it, on behalf of myself and Karen, I would really like to thank you for your gift to us. We're really encouraged by your generosity and really grateful for just what you really gave and for the investment that you'll have in the ministry in New Zealand. So now that you know where we live in Wellington, of course, you're all welcome to come. You know, if you're out for a Sunday afternoon drive and are in our neighborhood, now you're welcome to stop in. But we don't want you all to come at the same time, or we might have to rent that Parliament building to put you all in there. Well, let's sing. But thank you very much. We really mean that. We're really grateful to you and the Lord. Let's sing number 6, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's sing 1 and 3.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness.
The second one.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy
have some more sharing now, and just take a couple of minutes. It doesn't have to be long. What we really want to hear is what God has done in your life this week. Is there some application that you've made, something that you've been taught that has really helped you? Maybe it's a decision you've made. And I'd like to suggest that we hold back our applause tonight, okay, until we're all finished. Okay, I think that would make us feel more comfortable.
The Lord, I'd just like to praise Him for some guidance He gave me in a decision. For the past 3 months, I've been really struggling with a decision in my work and the various ministries I've been involved, and that I've had a common Christian problem called overextension, and that you all may sympathize with, because we probably all get in that state once or twice in our lifetime, for sure. And I was really struggling. I mean, I even considered very strong to leading the public accounting firm I'm with, and I looked for part-time jobs. Companies would want a CPA for four days a week, and sought job counseling, dealt with some godly counsel, and the Lord would give me an answer this week, and that I've eliminated one of my ministries. I'm just really excited about it and really at peace about it and very excited about the next year. So I just praise Him.
The kids and I have really enjoyed this week at the conference, and it surprises me every time that I come to a conference or how clearly God speaks. And I thought this time, well, this time might be different because it'll be busy, and the kids and I will be deciding meeting by meeting what we'll do. And so I went to this leadership in the home seminar from Baukia and Hert, and I was sitting up in the balcony, and I could hear my kids playing cowboys downstairs. So I was a little distracted, but in the middle of all my distraction, I heard Baukia say that, now you have to understand that as a staff, you go to a lot of conferences and a lot of training programs, and you really never get tired of the messages. It's like you were saying, you feel so blessed that you can barely contain it, and you can't get enough of it. Well, that's sort of how I feel, and in the middle of my distraction, I heard Baukia say, well, I wasn't in the meetings at the training program and when we went to some of those conferences. I was with my children, and I taught them the things that they needed to know in their spiritual life, and we did music together, and we played ping pong, and we... she mentioned a couple other things, sports, lots of, you know, cute little ideas. And I thought, I took that right to heart. And I thought, as I left that meeting, I don't know about your heart, but sometimes my heart accuses me, and sometimes it excuses me. And I didn't want either. I hadn't had my quiet time that day, so I went in my room for a late and very short quiet time. And that's all there was time for, but I must read you what I read. And I asked God, I said, Lord, if you want me to be with my children more, then please say something to me about children in this short time. Anything at all you want to tell me. And otherwise, if I'm taking it to heart and I'm too subjective, don't say anything at all about children. Well, first... I read Psalm 127, and wouldn't you know there was something about children in there? It said, sons are heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. And I had to stop at those verses, of course, because I'd asked God to say something specific. And as I meditated, I thought... I look at a conference as a reward, and I look at all those messages as something to build my heritage on. And yet God said, I've given you a very great reward, and it is going to be a super privilege for you to spend more time with them, just like you thought I was saying to you. And then He said to me, arrows in the hands of a warrior, they need to be directed. And no one takes arrows just for the fun of carrying them on their back. And then they would be just a burden. But arrows in the hand of a skillful warrior, aimed just right, are wonderful. That's the picture I got. And then I said to the Lord, well, Lord, what about all that I need? And I stand so needy before you. And I make so many mistakes in these conferences and all these meetings. I don't want to miss one because I might miss what I need. And then He said to me, our help is in the name of the Lord. He said, the maker of heaven and earth. So He turned my eyes to Him and said, if you need something, I'll make sure you get it.
I never really prepared anything for tonight because I didn't think I'd be coming up here. I kind of talked myself out of it. But the Lord kind of told me, you know, He's really answered a lot of prayer, and I should tell other people about it. I've told a lot of the guys that have been close to me, like in my group, in my discussion group about it, you know, but I'd like to tell everybody else about it too, and that's that my wife and I have never been with Christians for probably more than 2 hours at a time. And this has really been an effect on us. We know the Lord, but we just didn't have the teaching, really. That's what it came down to. And we couldn't figure out, you know, how to get anywhere, because we just really didn't have the influence like we should have. We never have gone to a conference before, and I've never gone to one before, and I'm 2 years older than Cindy, and so this is really a new experience for both of us, and just really, really learned a lot. What I can apply from this conference is, you know, I have the heart for the Lord. I really love the Lord a lot, but there's one thing that I need, and that's the Word in my heart. That's gonna help me to grow, and I'm not gonna prosper unless I put that in my heart. Taking it from Joshua 1:8, I'm sure a lot of you know that. And the verse that I claim for this conference is Ephesians 6:23, and I just memorized this before supper. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that verse really hit my heart and shows me how important the Word really is to become close to God. It's the helmet of salvation, and I just praise the Lord for what He's taught me through this conference. And one other thing is the love that every one of us have for each other. You know, we don't even know each other, and we can come up to each other and we really have a super relationship. We've never even seen each other before, but we have that common bond in Jesus Christ, and that's really meant a lot to me, and it's really been a witness to both Cindy and I, and we'll never forget it.
I could really agree with Kelly too on friendliness and the love, you know, amongst people here, and I want to thank like Gertz for the talks he had and for Mr. White, but he's gone. But all the messages this week, really, most of them had a message for me, and or you know, God was trying to tell me something. And one thing I guess I really wanted to apply from this, there's about five things, but I'm going to work on one for sure. And there's a friend we have back home, or a couple that live up about four blocks from us, and Steve and Diana became Christians about a year and a half ago. And Steve is just really an energetic person, and he just full of life, and I really like him. And we have a softball team run together and do picnics or camping together and stuff. And one thing we've talked about in the past is just getting together like in the morning for breakfast or something, just being able to share and encourage each other. But we've never really done it, you know, we've never... you know, okay, this is it. I've never committed myself. We talked about it, but I didn't commit myself to it. So that's one thing I want to do. We're going to do it because I know he wants to do it, you know, and I'd like to do it with him too. And we're going to, so that's my application. I'm going to try to, we'll try to do that on a regular basis, I guess, just getting to go with him, breakfast or whatever in the morning before work. See, as how no one's talking, I might as well share the verse that I was going to share, but I forgot. And I heard this in the workshop that I went to on follow-up. And it's 1 Thessalonians 2:11. It says, "As you know how we exhorted and encouraged and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." And that's kind of neat. I thought about that a little bit today, you know. And, well, that's really the way I see it. That I should really have an attitude like toward this Steve, you know, of, you know, like my dad has toward me, or, you know, I should be like a dad toward him. And I know I've got to work on that, because a lot of times I'm not that way toward him. You know, I'm selfish, you know, I'm not that way. And another verse we learned kind of applies this to is the song we sang, you know, Matthew 6:33. Seeking first God.
Well, Bob, you're not the only slow learner. We've been coming to conferences. This is our sixth time. And the first conference we came to, Jerry White was our speaker. And one of the things I learned from him was that we needed to allow Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. And so I made that decision at that time. And my own personal walk has really grown. But another thing I learned at that conference that another speaker mentioned was that our most important contribution as Christian parents is to raise up our children to love the Lord. And even though that's been in the back of my mind for 6 years, somehow or other it's easier to be concerned about my neighbors who don't know the Lord or to be in Bible study myself. I really haven't taken the time for the kids that I think I need to. So with Mary's talk on priorities of a mother and the talk on honesty in the home, this is going to really be helpful. And so I'm going to start really working on training my children, because we learned in Proverbs that if we train up our children in the way to go, that they will not depart from it.
I get so nervous every time I get up in front of people. But there's a couple things that the Lord's really spoke to me about. And one is just to be still and know He's there. And I've really come to see, as David said, I really hunger and thirst after righteousness, and I want to be the man that He wants to be, and I want to quit condemning myself and look to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times I try to take shortcuts to a lot of other things, and I kind of leave the Word of God behind me and try and go off on my own strength, and boy, it doesn't bear much fruit. And that's one of the promises I'm claiming as I go home is that my life will bear fruit. Man was very influential in my life to bring me to Christ. And he's been sharing this thought that we've been getting about Timothy. And now I think Lance and his wife really brought this to my attention. I see it now also, and I really want to catch that vision and see fruit.
Borrowed somebody's Bible. I left mine over in the Bighorn. I didn't hear this verse brought out in the conference, but this is the one that kind of rattled around in my head this morning. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." And let's see, this is 79. The last conference I was at was in 57. And I went to one in 55, 56, and 57. And then sometime after this, you know, things don't happen precisely at 9 o'clock on April 9th or something like that, but I essentially became a skeptic. And it wasn't a rash decision. It was for lack of alternatives. And I sought for help at that time among pastors and many others, and it didn't come. So God let me wander around in places where there are no answers. And eventually, having felt that I did not get any answers, I felt, well, I know Christ lived. I just know it. Our calendar, there's so many things that say that. So I started back reading the Bible, and I'm a compulsive Bible reader. I was a compulsive Bible memorizer. I was one of the old navigator types that was compulsive everything. And it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. You know, it was kind of, you know, a little bit good, a little bit bad. And as I came here this time to just see if the management of the navigators, just kind of what the spirit was of the people who were kind of running the thing. God let me see a lot of these people. And even more than that, I was watching and listening and talking to the people here at the various tables when I would eat to see what they were getting, what kind of people was being reached, you know, what was being generated. And I see that Jesus Christ is really, I'll probably cry because that's the way I am, but I see that Jesus was really foremost. They're not teaching people systems except as an assistance, you know. And when I came to Christ, I came because I wanted to know God, and I got lost off in these systems. That wasn't good. And I have a very, very small business in Seattle, but I don't do anything until I talk it over with Norma for hours and hours, but somehow we feel, or I feel, and I'm sure Norma will agree with me probably, that we want to support substantially in some way the NAV ministry because they're producing the kind of people that I think ought to be produced. And this verse... Oh yeah, one other little thing. After I sort through all of this time and all of the stuff, you know, all of what's happened, as I look back, the only real, tangibly significant help I ever received came through navigators, even though I was very mechanically oriented at the time. The Word of God had its way. I had about 1,300 verses memorized when I dropped out, and they rattle around in your head. You lose the references, but the verses linger on, you know. And this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And God has done a work to let me really know that there are no answers aside from Christ. There are no answers that are outside of the Word of God. And the Word of God is really over my head is... Kurt, is that the way you do it? I'm kind of an intense guy in a lot of ways, and I'm very much following the Bible inerrancy thing that's going on, and I'm very interested in this, and I know that it isn't up for grabs what's in the Bible. It is right. Genesis is geologically correct, and I like to say that out loud because some people have turned into theistic evolutionists, and I it's correct the way it is, and I know how to deal with that. But I really appreciate the ministry this week.
Now, I know that there's a lot of people here that would like to share. They have something that they really want to share, but they might be just a little bit nervous, you know. So why don't we stand up and take a deep breath? That'll relax you. These three heads up here in the wall, these three animal heads, whatever they are, kind of reminds me a little bit of the conferees at the conference. You know that? This one over here, this one kind of reminds me of the conferees when they first come to the conference, you know, in the first couple of meetings. Oh, I'm just so intent on the messages. This one here reminds me of the conferees when they first get into their discussion groups. This one over here reminds me of the conferees in the last meeting. Artie, why don't you lead us in a song, okay? And we'll have some more sharing.
Okay, tonight I want this to be your personal musical tribute to Jesus. And I'd like you all to just close your eyes. It's a song that we all know very well. God is so good. And then the second verse, He answers prayer. And the third, He loves me so. And just, I'd like you all to sing the parts that you know and just make it, just sing to your very best, and it'd be just between you and God. Okay? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He loves me so.
Why don't we have just a little time of prayer now, and then we'll continue sharing again after that. Why don't we have three or four, just stand up and lead us in a conversational prayer, just a sentence prayer.
Now, Father, we thank You that You are a good God and that You love us all. Thank You that You love us enough to care for us as Your children, and to help us grow. And Father, thank You for the growth that we've had this week, and pray that You will bear with us and encourage us and help us to encourage one another to apply what we've learned and to continue to grow in You.
Father, I thank You for each one that has come out this week. And I thank You, Lord, that You have spoken to us. And I pray that You will protect each one as they go back and as they labor for You out in the fields of Your harvest this coming year.
I praise You and thank You, Lord, for those who are sent here to minister to us and to share with us what they were given by You.
I thank You, Lord, for the revelation of the Word this week and its encouragement to me.
Thank You for the opportunity that Thou hast given us this week to come here, Thy word and Thy service. Most of all, Lord, the sweet Spirit is here. Lord, let us not forget if we leave here the things that we have seen and heard. We'll carry them home and do as Thou would have us to do. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's open it up again for sharing.
Well, like Daryl said, there's a lot of people here that have things to share. I know that because I've heard it one-on-one or one-on-five or ten in our discussion groups. But somehow it's a little bit different when you get it before a crowd. And you want to watch it when you read the Bible, because sometimes it'll prod you to do something that maybe you don't care to do. And I was reading the other night and this verse stuck with me. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things
with him who teaches. And I don't like to stand up here, but I feel I have an obligation because of that word there to share with you some of the things that I've learned. And first off, my wife and I have come to the realization that we have the need of a closer Christian fellowship, a definite Christian fellowship with Christians. It's something that if you don't make the effort to do, you can kind of walk by yourself. And that's not easy. Also, this week, I have come to the conviction that I need to memorize Scripture so that I'll be able to tell people what the Bible says without having to fumble for a Scripture verse, so that it'll be in my life when I need it, when I'm in a time of victory and when I'm in a time of temptation. And also, the very first night when I come to the conference, when Jerry was talking in Romans, I give the Lord my soul. But it was made clear that He wants my body while I'm here on earth, and He wants what I can do with it. And I had said, in my heart, I'd said, yes, that's a good idea. But now I've made the commitment that it's His.
I would like to attest to the success of this week. I have to admit that I came here as a doubting Thomas. The accountant over there said that he was suffering from overextension, and I guess I am too. My wife was responsible in bringing me here. I had 100 reasons why I shouldn't come. I had to be in Chicago and Minneapolis a week before. I live in International Falls. It just seemed as though that scheduling would not break itself. Involved in several businesses, but the principal business I'm involved in is being a lawyer. Now, I'm not only a lawyer, but I'm a trial lawyer. In a small town, that doesn't always make you the most popular guy in the world. You try a lot of lawsuits, and you win some, and you lose some. So when I was here, I started going to the discussion group, and I told my wife, I said, let's not say that I'm a trial lawyer, because I'm used to having people kind of take you on a little bit. Some people tend to regard a lawyer somewhat as a hired gun, and it's kind of fun to draw down on them to see if they're really as fast as they think they are. I just didn't want to do that. Didn't want to argue law. Didn't want to argue about the merits of defending criminal cases. I didn't want to talk about whether or not you should handle divorce cases. Didn't want to give my opinion on whether people should become divorced or not. Didn't want to explain that I'm a legal mechanic. So I said, let's not do that. I'm involved in a trucking business. I'm involved in a retailing outlet. So let's just say I'm self-employed, and then I don't have to get into all of that. But I really have to tell you that you have impressed me. It's been so long since I've been with Christians for an extended period of time that I forgot what it's really like. And I've been impressed with the love here, the sharing here. I've been reminded of some things that I've kind of let slipped in the back of my mind, because when you're busy, when you start your day at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning, when you work until 10 and sometimes midnight, you just eliminate some things from your life. And some of the most easy things to eliminate are quiet times and devotional times, times with your children, because they're not as demanding on you as Christ is sometimes. He'll let you slide, and your children will understand, and so will your wife. So I'm not saying, I suppose, that I'm going to have an about face, but I've been reminded of some very important things, and I trust that I can realign my scheduling a little bit to make more time for the things that really count.
Uh, I mentioned to a friend today that I didn't know if I wanted to come tonight because I always feel like I have to get up and I didn't want to get up. She says, if God is leading you, you'll get up. So here I am. When we came in Sunday night, he mentioned something about during the week with all the people you'll be visiting and talking and the groups you'll be in and so on, you'll be finding something to make it as an application for your life. Well, God gave me not a visual aid. I'm a teacher, too. Anyway, perfect example, anyway. And I'll preface this by saying that for quite a long time now, he's been telling me that I should get up earlier in the morning, and I don't really like to get up early. Our children are older. They don't leave for school all that early, and so we don't have to get up that early. But he's been saying I need to get up earlier so I can have more time and more quality time. And we are in the castle, which, you know, you have to share bathrooms. Well, unfortunately, Sunday night I locked the other people out of the bathroom. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, they knocked on the door, you know, needed to be let in. And so then he got up and he took a shower in. I'm one, after three children, you know, I can get up and go back to sleep very easily, where the shower kept dripping and dripping, and I thought, well, I can't go back to sleep. So then Tuesday morning, 5:30, shower was on again. And that morning I said something to my husband about, I don't know why the shower is really bothering me, and I kind of was complaining about it. And he reprimanded me a little bit about, you know, that was, you know, what their lives were doing or whatever, I don't know. Anyway, so I said something to his wife that morning. I said, does your husband get up and jog early? She says, no, he gets up and goes outside and has his quiet time. So that didn't help me in at all. And, well, then, every session we were in, they start talking about time. When I did my thing today, and I wrote down all my stuff, and I evaluated everything, and every one of them had time in it. But anyway, then we heard about, and this had to do with prayer, but I guess I applied it to the Word, that whatever you do, it's really basically a relationship to God. That's the important thing. And God says, see, you need to get up, so you have a little more time, because I really have things I want to share with you. So Wednesday morning, he gets up, shower goes on at 5:30, Thursday morning, Friday morning. So wouldn't you know, he gets up and shares his testimony today. Now you know who it is. And he talks about this guy that called him at 6:05 to make sure he was having his quiet time, and it was like God was saying, I turned the shower on at 5:30. So anyway, one of the applications is, I have set a specific time, which is earlier than I normally get up, to get up so I have more time alone in my quiet time with God. But it's amazing how God can work through showers.
Showers are a blessing.
Hi. I really would like to share some blessings God has given me this week also. The things that Garrett has shared this week really hit my heart. God's love is talked about a lot, and it's in the Bible. And I've heard about it for the last 7 years that I've been walking with the Lord. But it's something that sometimes I doubt and feel very insecure about. The verse of John 14:21 says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And that really spoke to me. I've heard that verse and had it memorized. And it says that he who loves God will obey him. And sometimes I just really doubted, and I do doubt, just my love for the Lord because I'm not always obedient. But it says that if we are obedient to what he said, that's our expression to love towards him. And the last couple months I've been praying that God would help me to love him more dearly, because I want to say that I love him, but I'm not really sure of that sometimes because I'm not obedient. Another verse that spoke to my heart this week was Psalm 116, 1 and 2. And it says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And when Garrett shared that our focus needs to be our relationship with the Lord and not the activity, you know, that just seemed to really say a lot to me. And so I'm just really excited about focusing on a love relationship with the Lord because he wants to hear from me. And that can just give me an assurance of his love for me, but it also can give me an assurance of my love for him, my obedience.
For those of you that I perhaps have not met or talked with very much, my last name is Ritterbush. It also happens to be my husband's last name, which is convenient. I tease him sometimes by saying, I looked all over college for a Smith or a Jones, but I found a Ritterbush. And the only reason I say that is that my, if possible, my maiden name was even worse. It was Dutch, and it was Osevarde, which is, I have been told, translates to the worth of an ox. Now, if that's not correct, I've been living with a bad image for a long time. But that's precisely the area in which the Lord was speaking to me this week. I have had a very poor self-image for a long time. And I don't know how much my name really had to do with it, but this week I have really been impressed with the fact that God loves us with an eternal, he's loved us with an everlasting love, and he loves each and every person who obeys his word and who's walking with him. And in Bob Johnson's workshop, we were studying about the vine, the vineyard, the vine dresser. And in there, there's a verse that says, Jesus loves us as God loves him. And I thought, wow, that is really strong. How can you think that you're not up to par when a God like that loves you that much? So I've really been impressed this week, and that's I'm going to be taking that into my life as we go home, just remembering how much he cares for us. And how much he wants the best for us. And what a privilege we've had this week to share that love with each other. And how many, many people there are who don't know anything about that love that we can touch.
I did not plan to get up here tonight. I get very scared. This is my 8th conference, so I'm a slow learner too. For those of you who are single, don't give up, because last year the Lord finally sent me a godly man, and he was more than I prayed for and worth waiting for. So hang in there. The Navigators really helped me with that, because I was having a few problems a few years ago with that. But anyway, we were married last fall, and I guess that all women have tumors in the uterus, and when I did get pregnant in March, I have fibroid tumors, and they're really growing. I'm only 3 months long, and I look like I'm at least 6. And so we appreciate prayers, but I was a little concerned. First they told us we were going to have twins, and I was so excited, but it wasn't twins. It's just going to be one, but we're thankful for that. But in Psalm 94, I claimed before I came here, Lord, when doubts fill my mind, when my heart is in turmoil, quiet me and give me renewed hope and cheer. And would you believe that the first lady I met, Mary, she said her mother had this with her sister. First lady I talked to. And since then, many people have shared with me, and the speakers too, and I really appreciate your prayers, and so many of you are saying they're going to keep praying for us, and we appreciate that. But I finally got a real peace from Psalm 57, and I'm claiming this. Oh, God, have pity, for I am trusting you. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the storm is past. He will send down help from heaven because of his love and faithfulness. Oh, God, my heart is quiet and confident. Thank you.
Les, why don't you come up and lead us? Les is going to lead us in a song called Like a River Glorious, and he's going to sing the verses, and we're going to join him on the chorus.
I have been waiting on the edge of my chair to share my testimony, what God has taught me this week, but I thought I'd just wait till I got up here and kind of hit two birds with one stone. When I came out here, I've been around the Navigator teaching since college. I suppose it's been about 7 years. And some things happened in college. We saw a couple guys come to know the Lord. But not too much has happened since then. We're a long ways from any real Nav fellowship. But when I came out here, I says, Les, it's time to either fish or cut bait. We know the right things to do. We just weren't doing them. And Jerry shared a verse the first night, an old verse, Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that struck me in a new way that I had to, especially in the absence of a lot of real good fellowship, I had to somehow keep the truths, the convictions that I really kind of had in the back of my mind. I had to renew my mind on convictions of witnessing and quiet time and the importance of God's Word. And so that's where he's really spoken to me. And another thing that's spoken to me has really been an encouragement is the people I've met that have just recently come to know the Lord. I wonder, would it be too much to ask, if you've come to know the Lord through the NAVs in the last 3 years, could you stand? Just kind of as a testimony through the last 3 years. 3-4 years? Jim, when was it?
I guess you could call it.
And you can sit down. This is... really impressed me, you know, that this thing works. You know, sometimes out in Freeman, South Dakota, we really wonder if it works. Thank you.
Thank you, Les. Appreciate that. Let's continue sharing, okay? Maybe you made a decision or a commitment or some application. It's really been great. The stuff that we've heard so far.
I have two things I think that really have hit me at the conference. One is an application. Really came through this morning on living with pressure, and that myself and my wife, we felt we haven't been doing too good doing that. And so at our application, well, the verse that really hit me was the passages in Romans 5:3-5, where we're supposed to exult in our pressure situations, because that'll provide steadfastness or perseverance, which will lead to proven character, which will lead to hope, and that God wants to work on my character through the pressure situations. And so my wife and I have decided to take a whistle-blowing stop next week for a couple days just to examine biblically the situations that God has placed us in that we feel pressure in, so we'd gain His perspective. So we're looking forward to that. The second thing I think just really has motivated me, I can't think of any better word, is having Herit and Baukja in sharing their life and their vision. And it just, you know, it thrills me to think of, you know, that maybe it was 20 years ago that the NAV sent somebody over there, and how they had a vision of trusting God for people, that they'd come to know Him, that they would take individual time to follow them up to the point of where you have leadership in a ministry like that. And I just examine the church that I'm in myself first, that I just pray that God would turn me upside down and inside out to do that type of ministry, and that our church would do that type of ministry. And I just really praise God for the encouragement and the motivation that they've brought as missionaries to us. Thank you.
I feel I have to share with you that this has been a very life-saving conference for me. I have really felt that I've been convicted in the last 2-3 months, and I know my sharing group is sick of hearing this, but my life has been not so hot, and my conscience hasn't been clear at all. So Monday was really an eye-opener for me. I feel that the Lord has been working on me for quite a while, but he finally hit me over the head when I came here. One day, I had done something wrong, and a friend of mine is a doctor in a hospital, and we went to the hospital, and he had to see a patient, and I went out to the waiting room. And in the waiting room was a daily bread and a Bible. And when I do remember to have devotions, I read a daily bread, and I do the devotional with the Bible. It just happened that that day, the devotion was about what I had done wrong. And I thought, oh no, you're really out to get me, aren't you? Okay, so my life just kind of went on. And my parents had come here 4 or 5 years ago, and they have been kind of after me to come. I have 2 little girls at home. And it's just never worked out. And so this year, my mother brought me the brochure on the Glen Eyrie Conference. And she said, Sherry, now why don't you plan on going? I said, okay. What? Okay, I'll go. All right, so we started making plans, and I sent in my reservation right away. And the time started getting closer, and I started getting a little shook because the money wasn't there. And I was still being convicted, and I thought, okay, God, this is your thing. If you really want me to go, take care of it, because, you know, I'm short on cash. And my parents really wanted me to go, so they came up with the extra cash. And a funny thing happened on the way here. I've told people this, too, but I was really stupid. I put all my traveler's checks in a new suitcase that I had gotten. And I didn't want anybody to wreck my new suitcase, so I was going to carry it. And it got heavy. I came 30 hours on a bus from La Crescent, Minnesota. And I was really getting sick of carrying that big suitcase around. So in Omaha, I decided I'd have them put it in the baggage. And it didn't dawn on me that I didn't have any locks on it. All my money was in there, and all my precious jewelry. And I thought, okay, God, here we go again. You want me to get there and have a good time. You take care of my luggage, because I just did a big boo-boo. And Denver, I was really worried about it, and I got my luggage. It was all there. It was all in one piece. I got here, and Sunday night, I was really wiped out, and I was ticked off because I couldn't take a shower before supper because I just got here, and I couldn't raise my arms or anything. I just sat very quietly. But Monday was a real eye-opener for me in our sharing group. Kim Botts had me read 1 Timothy 1:19, and the first part of it was, cling tightly to your faith in Christ, always keeping clear your conscience, doing what you know is right. I hadn't been doing that. It also goes on and says, if you deliberately don't listen to your conscience, or you are disobeying and doing what is wrong, that isn't so smart. And then it says at the very end, it isn't surprising that these people have lost their faith after defying God like that. And I thought, boy, what a hammer hit. That's me. All just really hit me because that's what I had been doing. And I had never totally committed myself. And so this has been a very life-saving conference for me.
I wasn't aware when I signed up for this conference that it was intended to be a couples conference. And I'm not a couple. I'm with I'm with two of my other friends here from Minneapolis.
And I just wanted to let you know what an encouragement it is for me, being fresh out of college and being a single person, just seeing the commitment that you people have that I don't see in either young marrieds or older marrieds or other married couples that I've been around. I just haven't seen the commitment to Christ. I just wanted to let you know that sometimes when you're in with one group of people, you see how God can work through that group of people. And it's been a revelation to me to see how God works through all kinds of people. And I'm really glad that he's working through each one of you.
Sel and I had the privilege of riding out here with Kelly and Cindy. And Kelly's the man who's had all the energy here at the Glen, and he's always wanted to climb all the hills and go everywhere. And he makes me feel old. But we've really enjoyed getting to know them this past year. And one of our applications from our first conference last year was to find a couple and spend some time with them. And Kelly and Cindy happened to be the couple that the Lord brought to us. And we knew that, you know, this would be their first conference. And we prayed that, you know, it wouldn't be a really heavy, discouraging thing to them. And we just had all kinds of fun coming out. And, you know, God seemed to be developing our friendship and just letting us do fun things together. And we were really encouraged when we first got here that the very first people they saw were people from their hometown. And it turns out that they know more people, or they knew more people here than Sal and I did. And that was really encouraging to us because it reassured us that God wanted them to be here. And he wanted them, you know, to really have a good time and not be afraid of the atmosphere or anything like that. So when we first got here, that was really encouraging. And the first service was really encouraging. And then we registered late, and so we went into the carriage house, and that's where we're staying. And some really little picky things started bothering me. Like, we went into the bathroom, and it's one that's not in our room. And the stool cover was stuck to the seat. And I went to pick it up, and I had, you know, one hand on the seat, and being slashed down on it, and it really hurt, and I thought, oh, brother. You know, and then we didn't know if that was our bathroom or everybody's bathroom, and I was really concerned, do I put up an occupied sign, or, you know, how do I handle this? And then, you know, we got into our room, and we started settling down, and so I was pulling the bedspread off, and he ripped it. And so, you know, and then we have this really super bed. It's a king-size bed, but it's got king-size pillows, and they're about this tall. And that really irritates me. I like a really flat pillow. And it was like, you know, God had done something really encouraging, and then, boom, into all these little details that were really distracting me. And I finally just had to say, you know, ask Sal to pray for me because I really needed help and I didn't want the whole week to be wrecked because of a sore thumb, a ripped bedspread, a bathroom that we didn't know what we were going to do about. But it was just, you know, and that really calmed me down and it really helped me. In one of the very, very brief quiet times on the way out here, I was reading in Nehemiah, and it's kind of neat how it fits with the emphasis that the word is, you know, very important, and we really should take it seriously. And I can find Nehemiah. It's kind of exciting, kind of fun. The children had been rebuilding the city and rebuilding the wall, and they finished all of that, and they wanted the priest to read the scriptures to them. And so they asked, I know it's here somewhere. They asked Ezra the priest to bring the scriptures before them. And it says that, you know, Ezra did this, and he read from it, facing the street that was before the Watergate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And then a whole bunch of people are standing by him. And then it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And the thing that stuck in my mind from that was when he read the word, the people stood up. And he read from morning until midday. And so I think it was the very first session that we had when the scripture was read, we stood. So that clicked in my mind. And then this whole week, I've been impressed with the idea that the word, take it seriously and consider it really important and really value it, and maybe sometimes even stand when it's being read, because it is a special book. And I guess, you know, when the people share from Holland that the word is being challenged and it's kind of being put down and it's not accepted anymore as the authority, it's been impressed in my mind to use it and to believe that it is the authority. And that's just been an encouragement.
Thank you, Artie. We're just going to take a few more minutes for sharing. If any of you have not shared and would like to share, we'll take a few more, okay?
I'm sorry. Quite a while ago, we were asked to come out here by Danny and Bonnie Clark. And at first I thought, what a vacation, Colorado, sunshine, shopping, I couldn't have it any better. But then Sunday we got here, and I really didn't know what we were getting into. And it's been great. We've had a lot of prayers answered. We've learned a lot. And the people have been great. Thank you very much.
I don't know why it's so hard to get up. It's difficult, but I have to share with you that God means a great deal to me. And I'm so thankful to Him. I really praise Him and thank Him that He's allowed my wife and I to come out here. This is our fourth time, and every time we come here, He really does something in our lives. In fact, I don't know how we could get along without this conference. Jesus means a great deal to us. And this week He really spoke to me, kind of came down on me with a ton of bricks about being a servant. He really showed me I'm too self-centered and selfish. And He showed me that to be a spiritual leader in my home, I have to be a servant. I have to be willing to sacrifice myself, lay down my life even as Christ did for my family, and I've really fallen short in that area. And through the workshop on spiritual leadership in the home, I really seen that I need to become a servant to my family. And also, He showed me this week that I need to accept responsibility for my family. I can't get disgusted at my wife because the windows are dirty or the floor is not vacuumed or whatever. It's my responsibility, and I really seen in this workshop, if I look at it that way, it's going to really help our relationship. I just praise God for this conference, for each one of you. I just enjoy seeing the love that you all display here. Jesus just seems to shine forth through you, and that's such an encouragement to me. And I just wish God's blessing upon each of you. Thank you.
My wife kept saying, if you don't get up, I will, so I feel we both should get up. I know I can voice for everybody the thanks that we have for this entire conference, the food, the singing, the fellowship, the thanks that the navigators know that Jesus is alive and well, and they're not going to compromise the word. You know, praise God. Praise God that He's in the changing business.
One thing that was really a problem in our marriage was we didn't have a commitment to have a prayer time together. We tried it, and it just didn't work. The commitment was too big. And today we made that commitment again. And we know that the Lord has placed us in a leadership position, and we aren't prepared to take it. But through this conference and the things that we learned this week, we know that the Lord has prepared us to go out and minister to those people, because the fields are white for the harvest, and it's our responsibility to go out there and save those people. We came through the drugs, and we came through the alcohol, and we came through all the things that those people out there, they don't have an answer to it, and they have no other place to go. So it's up to us to really go out there and to show them another way. And that's what we want to do, and that's what we're taking back with us, and we praise God for it.
Amen.
I said, Lloyd, if you want me to share, then there'll be another minute, because it's hard to get up. The shared spirit of oneness with my husband here and all of you has really been a joy to my heart. And I praise God for it, first for leading us here, and allowing us to come in spite of all of the details that Satan keeps throwing in our way to give us excuses or reasons or problems why we can't come. And I've heard a number of people who have said one thing after another kept coming up, and they had to deal with it. But by the grace of God, we are here. And I had been convicted at home of my poor scripture memory. And I have been guilty of being a hearer and not a doer. But I'm going to stand here and I'm going to say my first step in the right direction is to have memorized Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. And I'm going to go home with an application to memorize something I can handle so that I don't get defeated before I start. It's only going to be one a week, and maybe only for a month, but after the end of a month, I'm going to go the next month. With the help of God and my friends, I'll accomplish it.
I just want to say, first of all tonight, that I love Jesus Christ, that He is number one in my life. It's exciting to me to see how He answers prayer right up to this very minute. I've slept in a short bed in Bighorn for several trips, and now I've found out where there are king size. More seriously, I want to thank God tonight for an answer to prayer in my life and what Ann shared earlier. You know, I think we speak to the mind when we talk to one another, but God speaks to hearts. And so what I've said for some time, it's really taken God to speak to her heart for her to finally really understand the worth that she has. And I'm excited and praise God for that. We came out here and some time ago gave ourselves to the Lord, saying that we were ready and willing to go wherever, whenever He chose, made ourselves available, and yet hadn't sensed any clear leading from God in what direction He might be taking us. And this whole week, one of the things I've always thought was strange was most conferences you go to, you know the agenda before you get there, and you don't when you come here. And so Sunday night, Jerry opened up with one of my favorite passages out of Romans and talked about the very point of availability and the fact that there's more than just making yourself available. And through the rest of the week, the Lord has been reinforcing many of those checklist items that Jerry shared with us on Sunday evening. And I could go down that list and see the ones that I felt peace about and felt were in place, and those which the Lord was convicting me about where there was more to be done, and that maybe that's why He couldn't use me yet. And so through the other workshops and messages throughout the week, He's given me specific things in several areas. The one that Steve shared with regard to family, for example. The one that others have shared here about obedience, revelation comes as we obey. If we stop obeying, then the Lord stops revealing. and the one on relationship is more important than activities. Those are just some of those that the Lord has spoken to us about this week, and we haven't finished yet the planning that we want to do in the coming year to put those things into place so that the Lord will have more than have us available, but will have us prepared to use.
I've been sitting here thinking, am I supposed to share? And the thought kept coming, no, I'm not supposed to share. Carol just leans over, the Lord's laying it on my heart, you're supposed to share. Thank you, Carol. Now I pray I'll share what he wants me to share. A while back I heard a true story about a lady who was married to this man, and he was the kind of man who wanted breakfast 6 o'clock in the morning, on the dot. He wanted his clothes ironed just so. He wanted lunch at this time. He wanted dinner on the table at this time. Everything was just systematic. And the wife she did all these things, but kind of begrudgingly. She, inside, grumble, you know. That man died, and she remarried, and she was in the habit of, doing these things. So she got up in the morning, she made him breakfast, and his attitude was, honey, thank you. And she kept doing these things. Thank you, thank you. Pretty soon her heart started to change towards him. And she loved him. And pretty soon it wasn't I've got to do it. But I can't wait to do it because I love him so much because he shows such a love to me. And I think it was Wednesday night. I went for a walk at nighttime after the sessions. And I was sitting at a rock and I was just looking up at all the rocks and the stars and stuff. And the Lord showed me that I don't love him like I ought. And he showed me that I've got a lot of legalism in my life. I feel I have to do these things. Grumble, grumble. I have to do this. And he was so gentle. And he just showed me. Scripture tells me I'm not single. I'm married to Jesus. And he just showed me that the Jesus I'm married to is the second one, the one that is saying, I love you. And after I felt his love and that tenderness of him, I just really felt an outpour of love toward him. And his message really released me because we're going to be dealing with street ministry. And one thing you've got to have is a love for lost souls. And I've been sitting there thinking, do I really love lost souls that much to walk up to somebody and say, oh, sit down. Let me talk to you about Jesus. And I learned a lesson in John 20. And Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, I do. And he says, tend my flock or feed my sheep. He asks it 3 times and he responds with, feed my sheep or tend my flock. Not once does he say, Peter, do you love people? And that's my key that I've found, is if I love Jesus like I ought, love for people will automatically come. And I think Satan has a way of making me think, because I can feel a love for people, yet I have a hard time showing it, I feel like, oh, I want to hug this person, or oh, I want to do this. But there's a certain amount of hesitancy. That's because of my hesitancy towards my love for Jesus. And that is a lesson that I just praise the Father for showing me, that love for Jesus has to come first. And he is always there with his arms open wide, like the second husband that woman was married to.
Well, for those of you that know me or have gotten to know me this week, I am not usually at a loss for words, but I've been sitting back here struggling and struggling with this. And hope I can keep it simple and stupid, I think it is, the KISS principle that we learned from the Navigators. But anyway, we are just very thankful and grateful for the Navigator ministry. It was through a Scripture Home seminar that some friends of ours shared with us in Dayton, Ohio, 7.5 years ago, that we came to know the Lord. It was after the seminar, and we still stayed together and remained in Scripture, and So we are very grateful that the Scriptural Home Seminar came at the specific time that it did in our life, and we saw that it made tremendous changes in our